In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Well, good morning and welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry. I'm Pastor Greg, and it's always a joy to have you with us. If you've been listening to us recently, you know that the last few times we've been together, I've been trying to focus on pastors as the opportunity the Lord has given me to pastor 52 years and now reaching the point of retiring from my ministry here at Brookside. But as the folks at the church have said, nah, you're not going to retire because we're moving to the Atlanta area and our youngest son is starting a church down there, and it's going to be our joy to be able to be a part of helping them get that church started. So, no, I don't guess I really am retiring. But it's going to give us an opportunity to maybe to spend more time with our grandchildren. And a new ministry might be opening up for helping pastors that are discouraged and almost burned out to be able to know how to be strong and finish until the end. But as we were talking about the kind of ministries that God can bless, we were focusing our attention on a couple of verses in the book of Jude, one chapter long. And Jude is simply saying that we should be earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Now, we know that the Christian faith is something that is under constant attack. It's under attack inside the churches. It's under attack by the secular world. Often, just the opportunity to meet in our church buildings can often become under attack. But we need to be men of God with a sweet spirit, contending for the faith. Now, that doesn't mean contentious, but it simply means to earnestly be battling for the purity of the faith. The last time we were together, we were talking about contending with false teachers and those that want to change the gospel. We were talking about how we should be contending. And we finished our last broadcast with the idea of why we should contend. And basically, it gets back to the fact that if wrong philosophies are being taught and our children are being influenced in that way, then no wonder we are losing the next generation. For instance, we mentioned that postmodernism teaches there's no such thing as absolute truth. So whatever's true to you may not be true to me. And the foolishness of postmodernism. The second thing that we should be contending with is the evolutionary theory. It has influenced all of society. And as a result of that, we are certainly suffering the consequences. See, if we're just animals anyway, then it's okay to have sex with anyone at any time, because that's what animals do. And for that matter, it's okay to have sex with the same sex. There's no God to disapprove. See, if there must be millions and millions of years for evolution to occur, then the biblical account of the creation is wrong. So the question that our young people is asking, the question is, well, what else in the Bible is wrong? So therefore, we need to be contending for the faith when it comes to creationism. But now, we're exhorted to earnestly contend for the faith. But that doesn't mean to be contentious while doing it. And so, my plea with pastors is that we need to be consistently defining ourselves, not necessarily by what we're against, but by what we are for as well. For instance, if we're just known for what we're against, then first of all, you kind of forget to talk about what's good, especially Jesus Christ. The majority of Jesus' discourses were not woes. They were things that were blessings and positives. You forget to talk about what's good. And if you're constantly thinking about what you're against, you begin to take yourself too seriously. Soon you have the noble-sounding arrogance, like, you know, I'm in charge, I know everything, you know. And pretty soon you're swaggering instead of walking with humility. And then I've also noticed that that when we're always against something, it seems like we preach the same sermon from every text. It always comes back to the same thing that we're against. And soon we begin to foster mean people. We eventually assemble an audience of self-congratulatory clones. They cease to be able to discern truth because they've just been trained to listen to you. They'll have no constructive conversations because they'll be afraid of disagreeing with you. And so, pastors, be teachable. Be teachable. See, if you aren't teachable and you take all correction personally and as an unpardonable offense against God's man, then all critics will be labeled disloyal, and then you'll not be able to continue to grow in your faith. And people will eventually stop even trying to talk to you. And that'll, of course, make you a terrible shepherd. You lose all sense of grace. You begin to think that love is a weakness. You'll thrive on controversy. And lastly, people will stop listening because they think, well, we've heard it before, so why listen? And so consequently, the idea of becoming contentious is very dangerous. You see, because when I become contentious, I often turn off the unbeliever because of my disposition, not because of my position, but because of my disposition. See, there's something wrong if all unbelievers hate us, and there's something wrong if all unbelievers love us. Now, when we offend everybody, it's because we've taken on the truth stance without grace. But when we offend nobody, it's because we've watered down the truth in the name of grace. And so consequently, there has to be a balance in our ministries. So the question is, has our contending for the position of truth turned off our own children because of our disposition? Where are your children, pastors? Where are they? Are they walking in your steps? Oh, they don't have to agree totally on everything that you preach and teach. But do they love the Lord? Do they have a heart for God? And if not, maybe the Lord is wanting you to consider your disposition as something that might be as important as your position that you've been so adamantly teaching. See, when we see ourselves in the mirror of the Word of God, we shouldn't just walk away. The Bible says that's a foolish person that does that in the book of James. When we see ourselves in the mirror of the Word of God. And so, earnestly contending for the faith. Now, the last few verses of the book of Jude begin with verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some, have compassion, making a difference. Then verse 23, and others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. See, before we contend with those who are in danger of being led astray by false teachers, we've got to prepare our own hearts. Prepare our own hearts. In other words, it needs to be a bodybuilding program. The body of Christ. And so consequently, these last verses are talking about growing in our own knowledge of the Word of God. It reminds me of Acts 20:32. It says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Are you being built up on a regular basis by the Word of God? Or do you find that going to church, listening to messages, listening to Sunday school lessons is just kind of ho-hum to you? Do you find that there's not a whole lot in your life that changes as a result of hearing the Word of God? There's something wrong. I remember one time I had one of our deacons come to me and he said, Pastor, have you ever wondered why I never come forward during an invitation? And I said, well, yeah, I guess I have. He said, well, it's because I basically made all the major decisions in my life that I ever need to make. And so there's really nothing that ever needs to change. I thought, oh, brother. It wasn't long thereafter that same deacon led a church split with 200 people walking out the door. Wow. I wonder if that was one of his major decisions that he made a long time ago. You see, we are to be constantly building ourselves up by responding to the Word of God. So it ought to be a bodybuilding program for our church, pastors, and praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying consistently in the power and the will of the Spirit. Sometimes we find ourselves so discouraged that we just kind of give up on prayer. And that's exactly what Satan loves to see. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Those are the members of our churches. Watching therefore with all perseverance. In other words, not giving up on people, not giving up on circumstances that we think need to change, but don't change. We'll just give God time. Praying in the Holy Spirit. That means constantly submitting to the Holy Spirit. See, if you're walking with the Lord, the Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, that in all of our ways acknowledge Him. That means every time we speak a word or make a decision or whatever, we need to be kind of pausing and looking to Him and saying, Lord, I acknowledge Your presence. I acknowledge Your wisdom. I acknowledge Your leadership. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct our paths, men. He will direct our paths. So the bodybuilding program through the knowledge of the Word of God. Secondly, praying in the Holy Spirit. How's your prayer life, Pastor? How's your prayer life? And thirdly, the Bible says in verse 21, keeping yourself in the love of God. Keeping yourself in the love of God. See, living in the will of God brings God's love for yourself and others. Living in the will of God. Now, sometimes the will of God involves pain and heartbreak and sorrow change and hard times. But if you think living in the will of God is hard, try living out of the will of God. Try just saying, Lord, that's it, I'm done, and quit, and walk away. Then you'll really find how difficult it is. See, living in the will of God brings God's love for yourself and others. So many times we struggle to love certain people. But living in the will of God, praying for them, holding them up before the Lord, keeping yourselves in the love of God. That means living out of His will brings His judgment, but living in His will brings His joy. And then looking for the mercy of our Lord, that's His return. His return. In other words, every day, just saying, Lord, would it be today? Would You come back today? Meanwhile, you show God's mercy to others. And that leads to verse 22, where we have compassion. See, if I don't show much mercy, then I don't have much compassion. I don't have much compassion. And so, as I am learning to be a compassionate pastor, I'll be building up the body through my knowledge of the Word, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping myself in the love of God, and looking for the mercy of our Lord. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to focus our attention on being a compassionate pastor. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.